Welcome to the Choose Joy Podcast. Come inside, take you on a ride and show you how to align. This is for my people who can hustle and grind and put the bot on the line, overwhelmed inside. It's the Choose Joy Podcast. Come inside. This is for my people who can hustle and grind. Love yourself, loving others, the storm is alive. Be patient with yourself, success won't pass you by. Welcome y'all to the Choose Joy Podcast, where we look at what it looks like to love yourself, love others, and even your enemies and your obstacles. And today, y'all, we have a special guest, the one and only, the flyest man alive, Paul up in the house, you guys. Entrepreneur, physical therapist, got an agency, right? We do SEO. He's not going deeper because I don't want to.
Something like that. We do a couple things.
Oh, no. We do a couple things.
You know what I'm saying? She said, flyest guy. Wow, that's not true. But I definitely dress like a 42-year-old father. So, you know, just always keep that in mind. If I'm the flyest, and I promise you, I'm always in a hoodie, I'm always in some shorts, and I'm always in slides. That's fly. I am the flyest.
So for me, fly is more than just what you put on your body. We got to talk about confidence, the way you move in life. Oh. What?
You see that flag back there? I'm Kenyan. I mean, come on. Of course I'm confident. You see the wrist?
We're not going to go there.
Listen, anyway.
Kenya checks out, baby. If we go to Nigeria, I'd be like, Lord Jesus. Let me tell Anyways, you. We're not here for that.
That's my Nigerian zone.
Oh, we love them. We gonna cut this out. I'm gonna cut that out.
Keep it in.
Me and Nigerians. I'd be like, oh, you're Nigerian. Let's date you. And I'd be like, oh, no. We did that.
Nah, let them see it. Keep this in. For real. I'm happy to be here. I am real talk. I'm overjoyed. I'm happy. When you asked, I was like, yes, immediately. I didn't hesitate. I did not take a moment to be like, nah. I was just like, look, let me just find a date that works. I'm in. You ain't got to ask me twice.
Oh, okay. Yo, I'm going to jump in.
Okay.
I have to get a little deep. We've been seeing where the convo goes, but I like to ask, like, can you share with the people a time in your entrepreneurial journey where, right, you had a storm, you had a challenge. How did you still find joy amidst the difficulty? And what role did self-love play in that?
Wow. That's okay. So I've had many difficulties in my entrepreneurial journey. I had a difficulty today, about an hour ago, you know, found out some news about the finance company. I was like, okay, we move, as the kids say. But I've had plenty of difficulties in this journey. And I think there's a couple of different ways, you know, to find joy. And my joy, I mean, if we go deep enough and we get in there, then I'll share that. But a lot of like where I find my joy just comes from like one particular incident that occurred in my life. And actually two. One I don't really talk about too much, but the other one was when my father-in-law, you know, was hospitalized with COVID 2021, and he was in a coma for like 2 months. And, you know, we didn't really know if he was going to come back. We had hope. We were praying. We were, you know, locked in. But, you know, this is my guy. You know, I have a phenomenal relationship, I think, anyway. I think he thinks I bug him sometimes. But I think I have a phenomenal relationship with my father-in-law. So to see him in that moment, you know, it really, really sucked. And even to see my wife and, you know, her mom and, you know, sister and brothers and stuff like that. But what I did learn in that season was, you have to like, can we talk about the Bible real quick?
Yes, please.
No, I had to like really go back to like something that Paul the Apostle said, where it's like, you have to be able to find joy, right? I really had to go back to like, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of tough stuff, like you have to be able to kind of find joy and then also kind of look at like what even God's love looks like for us. And so for me, like that was one of the things that I really learned and grew in that season. Like, hey, you know, joy is interesting because joy isn't you know, giggity all the time. Joy isn't like bouncing off the walls. Joy isn't like laughing all the time. Joy is like a state of being. And, you know, what I learned in that season was just like, yo, even in this moment, I'm still grateful. I'm still grateful for the time we had. If he hadn't, you know, woken up, I'd have been like, it sucked, but I'd have been grateful for the time we had. And even after we woke up, I was like, man, I'm so grateful. He got to see his daughter, got to bring her down the aisle, got to learn a whole bunch of stuff from me, man. I got to teach him about the Ohio State football. So that was one of the things. But even in my entrepreneurial journeys, one of the things I've really learned to do is kind of put into process like a stopper. So think about like a door stopper, right? When you never really want the door to like just hit the wall. So my door stopper is like, and you know, it even happened yesterday. You know, yesterday I was having like a funky day. Sales calls, people canceling. I'm talking about every sales call I had yesterday canceled or did not show up. Every single one. And so by the end of the day, I was like, man, this could have been a rough day, but what did I do? I have this practice that like, I always try to take some time to go out outside. You know, we have palm trees here in Florida and just feel the sun on my skin, kind of take it all in. You know, moments where even my neighbor was asking me earlier today, he was like, man, you still work from home? Like, you're not bored? I was like, dog, I don't think you understand. You leave your house, drive an hour to work. I get up, brush my teeth, and get to work. Like, there's a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, I finish work. Like, I really, I was like, bro, like, and that was my boy, Bill. But I was like, you finish work. You got to drive an hour back in traffic in Tampa on Friday? I said, I finished work. I just stood up, went outside, pushed the trash cans out. And I was like, I'm seeing you. You know what I'm saying? So I found myself in moments like that, like, where I'm like, man, this is tough. This sucks. I go outside and I'm just like, yo, I mean, look at all this. Like, there's people out there that are sick and tired of what they do. You get to be at home. You get to do what you love. You get to be in this paradise. I grew up in Michigan. I grew up in the snow. 20 years. I did 20 years in Michigan. I did a 20 bid in the winter. And so, like, for me, like, even being out here is just such a blessing. And so I find joy in certain things like that because I'm just like, man, I'm so grateful. Even on a day like yesterday where they make no money. You know what I'm saying? People cancel on me. We still make money. But like, you know what I'm saying? Didn't generate anything. But I was like, I'm still so grateful because there's somebody out there who didn't have this opportunity, who basically was probably stuck in whatever was given to them. So I was like, dude, and today's been a phenomenal day. You see what I'm saying? So that's, you know, typically how I tend to try and find joy in moments of difficulty. And, you know, just, I mean, like, I'll be honest with y'all. I work at home, but I also watch like HGTV all day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
tell your truth.
You know what I'm saying? Life is great. Life is phenomenal. And thank God to be in this opportunity because I remember when I wasn't. That's also another reason I find joy, man. So, you know, that's my very long answer to a very short question.
I had to go back. When you said, I go outside and I feel the sun on my skin, I said, yes. What?
Let me tell you something.
I love that answer.
Let me tell you something. So I don't watch the news. We don't watch the news in our house, right? But I turned on the TV, you know, to watch HGTV as I work. And it turned on Spectrum News. So the first thing it was talking about is winter storm. I said, where? Where? And I looked and apparently, it's been a whole, like, people getting 2 feet of snow this week. Did you know that?
I did not.
I found that out on Wednesday. And today, I went outside and I said, like, I was talking to one of the people who wants me to consult with him, and he's in Washington today. He was like, man, you know, how's the weather in Florida? I said, I don't know, bro, it's 86. It's beautiful. How's the weather in Washington? He's like, dog, it's snowing. I said, bro, that's rough. That's rough. So I really don't take it for granted. I'll be honest. I do not take any of this for granted. You know, I live 5 minutes from the beach. Like, I don't take this for granted at all. Now, I'm not really a beach person, but, you know, I get to say stuff like that.
But it's right? There. Right, you know, right.
I could go pick a mango off the tree if I want to. Like, I don't take this for granted. And so for me, like, that's also part of what I find joy because it could be worse. And it has been.
Oh. Okay, so I just want to go into this because It's funny, as we age, I sometimes feel like I coach and parent my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so your answer was it's intentional. I actively am seeking this. This is what I choose to focus on. And so I just got frustrated the other day because my mother was complaining about something. And I was like, but don't you have breath in your lungs? Didn't you wake up today?
Right.
And she's fucking telling that to me.
Right.
So I say all that to be like, I love the intentionality, right? Joy is a choice, but you choose to focus on, right? And be grateful for. So beautiful. Love that.
I mean, I think about, so a couple months ago, you know, I went to visit my grandmother, and she lives in the village, like the village in Kenya. Okay. And so, you know, I remember one of the mornings I woke up and I was doing my devotional, and I was reading about when, all right, so for those of y'all who don't know and don't read the word, totally understandable, but in the Bible, there's this guy named Abraham, okay? And before he was Abraham, it was Abram. And before his wife could have kids, his wife told him to get him a little side piece. Y'all are caught up, okay? So he had a kid with this, you know, what do they call her? Her handmaid or something. She was in the crib with the kid, and his wife got mad that he did the thing she said to do. But that's another story for another time. But what I was reading, though, so eventually she gets kicked out the crib, and, you know, they're walking and they're moving and all that stuff. And she gets to a point with her son where she's frustrated. I mean, she just got kicked out the house. She has a kid. She doesn't know how she's going to do. So she sits there and they're thirsty, and they sit, like, I think at a truce, something like that. And she's weeping, crying. I don't know what we're going to do. And her son taps and is like, yo, what are you crying for? She's like, I don't even know what we're going to, whatever. And her son looks at her and says, yo, you don't see that well right in front of us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't see that thing. And for me, that really led me to this summer and this fall to start praying this prayer. Look, Lord, open my eyes to see the things I haven't been able to see. Because like you said, I mean, we take little things for granted until we can't anymore. So you're talking about finding joy. Like my father-in-law, that's my dog. He just had another surgery, had a hole in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you, I bought a flight same day. I said, I am on my way. Me, my wife had already gone. I said, I'm on my way, bro. Because you know what? I couldn't just stay here in Florida. But I said, I'm going, like, I remember, dog, when I tell you, I was like, I remember I couldn't see you when you were in the hospital. I said, I'm going to be there every day. We're going to do the exercises. They told him exactly what he needed to do to get released. I looked at him, I said, bro, you're going to get sick of me. Sick of me. Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to be doing laps. You know what I'm saying? You're going to use that restroom. I am in your face. I said, you're going to be hydrated. And it's like praying that prayer opened my eyes to see the things I cannot see. The stuff that's like intentionally be hidden from me because I can't find the joy in certain situations. And that's what I believe, by the way. I believe that like God really does hide certain things from us because why would he give you something if you can't even be grateful for something? It's like, why should I even open it up to him? So I've been really praying, like, open my eyes so I can see the stuff that's been hidden from me. And what he does that. Now, I've been also praying a whole other prayer about break me and open me and mold me. He's doing a whole lot of breaking right now. But and I'm here like, yo, when I said that, I meant. And he was like, yeah, about that. But really, it's just like open my eyes. And so that's also part of like what helped me find joy. And to the person listening to this, I tell you, like, you have to start asking yourself, like, not just like, you know, people want to say it could be worse. Sure. But think about where you've been before and how far you've come. Come on. Like, legitimately think about that. And think about, like, the difference between, I always think about, like, I keep these journals. I mean, I don't know if you can see them. Oh, they're down there. But I've been keeping a journal most every day. I think I missed, like, 11 days total. Since November 26, 2019.
Oh, wow.
And the reason why I do that is because on the days that it gets tougher, I go back and I read when it was tougher. There's some things I've written in there that, and like, I have this other, I guess I'll just give you all my game. I have this thing called a God box. So inside this box, I read this in his book, Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Rochelle. Highly recommend it.
Write it down.
But he said to create this thing called a God box, right? And so the God box is like, and I'll show you, like, well, you won't be able to see what's in it, but I'll show you. You see all these things? all these pieces of paper are things with dates, with literal dates and times when I wrote it, where I wrote like something I was going through that felt like I could not make it. And I just wrote and I said, God, you know what? Because I'm about that life and I say I trust you, I'm going to put my faith into literal words. So I'm going to write this down and I'm going to give this to you. And I know that you're probably not going to answer it immediately. But now if I'm going to continue to worry about this stuff, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to come pick up the little prayer I wrote, the thing I gave to you and say, don't worry about it. I'm going to handle it. You good. And let me tell you something. I am not in the business of second guessing the plan. So I just write this and I put it down. And then I literally go, it's literally in God's hands. So I go, cool. And there's some stuff, like there's some stuff written in there. But when I tell you, there's something I remember February 14, 2023. That morning I woke up and I wrote it in there. Wouldn't you know it, 6 hours later, the thing I was praying for God to take care of started going wrong. And it took 3 months. No, 2 months. It took 2 months for it to get rectified. But that entire 2 months, I literally sat back and said, yo, I said, you got it. So when I find joy in certain things, it's because I always like take myself to remember certain things. And those journals, man, there's some things I wrote in there that I'm like, man, like you think it's bad now, bro? Go back to March 18. You know what I'm saying? Go back to August 5th, 2021. August 6th, rather. That was the day after my father-in-law went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I read the entry in there. And I'm talking about, man, like, I don't know. The last time I saw this man awake was on a Ring camera. No, on FaceTime, the night before. And I read something like that. And I'm like, man, this, it could have been worse. But it's not just worse. It's like, I have that. So for me, like, it is intentional because I write down, I write it down and I make it plain so that my future children's children's children can go back and see great, great granddad. I just learned this term. I called my brother about it last night. It's called standing on business. Have you heard this phrase?
Standing on business.
Standing on business, right? I just learned it yesterday. I had an old moment. I had to call him and be like, bro, what does this mean? But it's like, basically, are you familiar with this term? First of all?
No, but I saw a reel or something on Instagram. It was a baby and it said business. And then on it was a man and it said me. So I'm wondering if it's like the same thing.
Basically, it's about like being about it. It's like being about that, not just being about that life, but being about what you say, like being about that action. So for me, I want my great, great grandkids to know that I really was, as the kids say, stand on business, right? Just being about it. And so that's also what like brings me joy. For me, like I wake up every day having tougher days, even as an entrepreneur. And I know like, yo, what's crazy is my kids are probably going to read my journals. My grandchildren are probably going to read my journals when I'm long and gone. My great grandkids are going to read my journals when I'm long and gone. And they're going to have an example of how to get through it, both through prayer and through practicality.
Yeah.
Because I hit both. You know what I'm saying? Some people are just stuck on the Lord, save me. But sometimes I'm like, Lord, save me. And then I start to do the things that will put me in a position to be saved. You know what I'm saying? So anyway.
Man, that's a conversation in itself. You blessed me with the God box. Because I got a shoe box. I bought some shoes 3 days ago. So I got my God box already. That's starting immediately.
There's just some things like, and so like the news I was telling you about that I got earlier today, that I was like, oh, this is definitely something I didn't need today. One of the things, even in that moment, I was texting a couple of people I'm connected with, and you know, we're all dealing with like the same company, right? So we're all just like equally going through it. And one of the guys was like, yo, I mean, have you ever seen flowers grow without a storm? And I said, bro, see, that's choosing joy right there. I said, that's what it means. Disruption, that's literally what it means. Like my mom used to tell me, the thing most people don't realize about storms, like the biggest thing most people don't prepare, but the thing most people don't realize about storms is when's the calmest part of a storm. And it's going to sound deep, but it's fake deep, right after it ends. The time where you're going to see the calmest waters out of the sea is right after the storm. And most people just want to, I could give you, you know, the rocket ship analogy and why, you know, zero velocity, whatever. I could do all that, but just in the simplest form. So he said that and I was like, dude, you're absolutely right. Like, this thing literally needed to break because as a collective, we hit a crazy goal. I'm gonna tell you when we stop recording. We hit a crazy goal last week. An insane goal. And the very next week, we find out some horrible news in that affects that crazy goal. And in that moment, I was just like, yo, this needed to happen. Because whatever we're trying to do, it dawned on me, this thing, this company that we're all connected to actually can't support the goal we're trying to go after now. Like, it only had the capacity to support us up to this. Yeah. It actually couldn't, but we're all focused on this, looking like, man, like, this sucks. And it started to be like, no, they actually couldn't support it. That's why the issue happened in the first place. And so that's where it's like being able to actually look and see and be intentional and say, yo, like, even right now, I mean, we're going through, in our personal life, we're going through something that's like really sucked for the last couple of months. But every time, like, you know, especially the last time, every time it's happened, I've just been like, okay, God, I mean, we're clearly doing this on your timeline. And I'm cool. I'm cool with that now. Because now it stopped being about me. That's where people can't find joy, by the way. Because it stopped being about me. So we can go into that. We cannot go into that. It's totally up to you. I'm sorry.
I need an organ in the back. I didn't know it was about to be Deacon Paul.
All I'm saying, there's always a way. There's always an option. There's always like a different perspective. That's what I've learned. So where a lot of people like give up and get stressed and whatever, I just don't do that anymore. Cause I'm like, yo, like I wish I could bring this to you. I have so much proof of how it's worked out. Literally written down. I have so much proof of how it's worked out. Why am I stressing? What changed between yesterday and today? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's all I said. It's from the prayer and the practicality. For the prayer, I'm like, God, come through every single time. This time is no different. And the practicality is like, bro, I've seen it happen every single time. Why should now be different? It's only tougher now because we're doing more. That's it. Chill. So that's what I tell myself. Just relax.
And just to add to that, because I did a reel. I said, people, they get attached to their anxiety and to their worry. Because what you like you said, I remember I too journal, right, for the purpose of let me go and look back. And I live in anxiety, lived in overwhelm and anxiety. And then finally I was like consistently going back and I was like, why am I wasting my time? Like, I don't have to be overwhelmed. It's going to work out whether I am anxious or overwhelmed. So why not choose to just be okay and see it play out and watch God show up and show out. And we know he's going to because we've seen it previously. And that's when I was just like, oh, some people, it's become home. Anxiety and overwhelm has become home to them. And they don't want to let it go. But then you choose to stay in your misery. You want to be in your misery. Some people just want to be in their misery because it's like, it's comfy and it's cozy. And, oh, I can sit here and complain and I can be scared and I can get on the phone and then, you know? But then, how do you move forward? How do you progress? How do you reach? Like, you can't. And you live in a cycle.
I mean, that's why I plenty glorify your sin.
What'd you say?
I think.
When you,
I think that's what happened when people glorified their sin.
Get away.
We ain't got time.
Yes!
We don't have time to go into that. All I'm going to say is this. Like, I've really been learning to stop glorifying my sin. No, people think sin and they think like, oh, the transgressions. But I'm talking about sin, like anxiety. Because that's why I just got box, right? Because when I realize I'm making it about me, I now am becoming so self-centered. Now, granted, you know, I hope all y'all listening are people of faith. If you're not, then, you know, this will not be applicable. But for those of y'all who with us, what I've really started to realize is like, yo, think about it. God is so dope that he's already, like, he already knows what the outcome is. Like, before I know. Okay? Here, like, what's going to happen is going to happen regardless of what inputs I put in. Now, granted, I can have some inputs, but at the end of the day, the result will be the result, no matter what. And so God is so dope that he still gives me choice. What I do is I choose to do it his way. And because I've chosen to do his way, now I can't do the anxiety boy. Now I can't do the fear boy. Now I can't do the stress. Because I said, yo, like, we gonna do it. Like, I was supposed to go to Jamaica right before COVID happened. What was that, 2020? And there were some things going on to where I couldn't go. Now, that's where my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, shout out to her. She had to hit me with the faith. She said, hey, we're going to buy these tickets. I said, hey, I don't know if I can go. She said, I ain't worried about all that. So I said, okay, you going to have faith? I'm going to have faith. And I told God, hey, this is your will. Let it be so. The day I was supposed to fly out, mind you, we bought the tickets like 2 months before. Plenty of time for things to happen. The day I was supposed to fly out is finally when I got the green light that I could go. And without context, right, it's not as deep. Like, if I gave you guys context, I'll be just shaking and be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? But the reason I'm sharing that is because in that moment, that was really like the first time I was just like, yo, God, like that whole time, I said, God already did. Like, he already knew this was going to happen. Let me just rock with him. Let me just ride the way he wants to ride. And so what's come as a result of that, by the way, and it's been interesting because it's really tested my faith. So now I'm reading this other book by Craig Rochelle called Dangerous Prayers. And these are indeed dangerous prayers because I prayed it out loud. I said, God, break me. I said, break me so you can mold me. And when I say, he said, bet, I got you. I will break you. And you will know when you're broken. I was like, bro, been 1 week. Chill out. He'll say, like, relax.
You move so fast.
Scale it back. I didn't say break me in 3 days. But what's been interesting is, like, I really learned to just do it how God wants to do it. And I really go back to, like, you know, God, because he is the foundation of everything I do. And that's really where my joy comes from, to be honest. Like, I really don't know how the people who don't have God in their life do it. Like, I'm saying, I don't know where you seek. I don't know. I just don't make no sense. But for me and my household, yeah. And so I've really learned to, like, just also just kind of move in those steps and just trust it. And that's where, like, a lot of my joy comes in. So that's why I was going back to what Paul was saying, finding joy even in times of tribulation. Like, I'm just like, bro, it is so dope. Like, even some today, me and my wife were talking about. We're like, yeah, we got till the 31st. I said, bet. God gonna make a way. We're looking like a purchasing primary residence, right? Mm-hmm. And then builders looked at us straight in the face and they said, bet, we gonna need a deposit of 180 grand. And I looked at them and said, huh? How much? And they were like, yo, you gotta move quick. All these lots are gonna be taken. I said, bro, if we supposed to be here and I'm supposed to be the 180, then lots going to be there, bro.
Yes.
Then lots go. And you know what's still not sold out? Those lots. Because I was just like, yo, God's got it. So that's really how I move at this point. I'm just like, God's got it. That's it. So, you know, that's my piece.
I'm going to hit a shout right now. But it's that. Oh, my God. I don't know who was talking, where I heard it. But it was like, you never hear God run. Like, you hear, oh yeah, God was running. God was sprinting. And slow to move. So when you start hearing people, oh, you gotta move fast, if I'm supposed to have rules, no matter what, it's going to be there. I ain't got to worry. So,
can I tell you a funny story?
Yes, let me tell you a funny story.
So we're looking at getting a new car, okay? Because my wife was like, you know, we got to get in the bigger vehicle. We're family now. So you get married and suddenly you're family. So we're like, let's get into a bigger vehicle. Well, what was interesting is I went to the dealership. Now, this is when Paul was moving on his own accord, all right? But we're a Toyota family. Okay, so that was a Honda joke for anybody that was listening. Anyway.
That was so over my head. But I just, okay.
I'm here all night. Anyway, so I go to the dealership. We're looking at these Grand Highlanders, right? And what was interesting is I sit there with my car dealership guy, and I'm like, yo, like, you know, we're looking to buy this thing. My man's like, yo, it's going to be this, but this upgrade. All of a sudden, we're at like $55,000. I said, my boy, I don't know if we're going to do that. We're running to the back. Let's see what happens. Well, while he's in the back, the finance manager makes a mistake. Finance manager was looking at a different piece of paper when he typed it up. And when he brought the paper back to me, when he got to the desk, the guy looked at it and said, oh, there was a mistake. I said, what mistake? He put the paper down. I said, bro, the MSRP, and y'all know, you know, it's the price that they tell you it's worth. Mm-hmm. Whatever they were saying I needed to pay was lower than what they bought it for. So y'all about to sell this car at a loss. I said, oh, that literally was, God was like, oh, slow down. Because I was ready. I was like, yo, today, sign here. And then God spoke to my wife and said, yo, hold up. This ain't the one. This is not the one. And I'm literally sitting at the dealership like, when are we going to buy a car that's sold for less than the dealership bought it for? Like, when are we going to do that, right? God's like, nah. This ain't the one, my boy. This ain't the one. I'm heated. I'm just like, he's like, this ain't the one, bro. So the salesman's like, this is never going to happen again. You won't be able to. I said, bro, relax. Apparently, this ain't it. Well, lo and behold, last week, today, as a matter of fact, they call me. Today, they call me. We got some Grand Highland on the lot. We'll give you a discount. It's the last day of the month. Yada, yada. I said, oh, how much? Wouldn't you know it? Dang near the same price as the other one. But guess what?
What?
In that moment, God exposes something different. See, now I'm going to make it practical. See, we're a Toyota family. We simple folk, okay? And we recently went to Texas, and we got in this fine specimen of a vehicle called a Chevy Suburban Premier, the top of the line. And we got in this thing. By the way, it's much bigger than the Grand Highlander. Much smoother. Bigger tank. Feels good. You just driving that thing, no pain. You know, so you got to climb a ladder to get into the vehicle. We both got into that car and we said, oh, no. This is the one God has for us. Wait a minute. No. So when the dealership called me, I was like, I already seen what. I don't think you understand. I've already seen what God has in store for us. And so I only share this story to say, like, when I say God's got us, like, even though the thing was right in front of us, and we could have said yes and probably would have gotten a phenomenal deal, we would have never been able to do. Because once we bought that, I'm like, who in the right mind is about to buy $55,000 and then buy like a 70 grand car, right? It just don't make no sense. But we looked at that and we said, oh, shoot, this is what we're supposed to be rocking with.
Right.
And guess what? Usually when we do long road trips, her back hurts. But we did 17 hours in that thing. My wife hopped out that car after 17 hours. Young, fresh, pain-free. Yeah. And I literally said, oh, I see what you mean, God. I see it. Because to see that, like, after 17 hours, I'm talking about we do 7 and she in pain. To see 17 hours, I said, bro, okay, I got it. I see what you're doing. Okay, I'm in. I'm back into your plan. And so that's really what it is. Like, moving, and the reason why I share that story, too, it's just like a testament to, like, sometimes, y'all, you'll have something right in front of you that feels right, that looks right, that seems right, and it's not right for you. And really, remember I was talking about, you know, why would he bless you with something if you can't even whatever? Think about it. If we did the first one, it would have literally blocked the blessing he had for us. That was much better.
Come on.
Like, let me make it practical. Us living in this house right here, We moved into this house sight unseen. Let me tell you something. We saw a different home and we were gung ho on that home, but I slowed back. When it was time for us to get into it, somebody already closed on it. And they were like, yo, we'll give you first dibs into this house. We moved into this house that was twice the size of the other home, paying the same exact price for the other house. In addition to that, way more space, way more everything. And we don't have backyard neighbors. We live by a federally protected natural preserve. It's just gators, pigs, deers and flamingos back there. Okay. Like nowhere else in Tampa Bay. Let me say it again. Nowhere else in Tampa Bay do people have this. So I'm just making it practical. I can even make practical with my wife. Those girls dating before my wife. Bruh. You know, it really, and I'm not saying God told her to cheat on me, but I'm just saying when we broke apart, yeah. Okay. When we broke apart, that was a blessing I couldn't see. And that really led me to hit my boy Joseph up, and he was like, yo, come through, man. Come to Florida in January when you live in Michigan to spend a week with us. It wasn't much of a sell. I was already sold. I heard Florida. I saw snow. I was in, right? But I get there, and then I meet my coach, Greg, and then Greg tells me to come to his event in May, and I come to his event in May and get y'all really not ready for this one. I come to his event in May, and I meet the woman who's going to be my wife at that event.
Oh,
here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Had I met her before then, we would not be married right now. You know why? Wow. We went to school together. She already knew who I was. I had never seen him before. And I literally told her, I think God literally kept you hidden. She said, nah, I'd be right in front of you sometimes. I said, man, I had never seen you before in my life. Because who I was when she first knew who I was, bro, is not who I am now. And if I had met her back then, bro, this would not be a thing.
Wow.
So I'm just trying to make it practical for the people listening.
Yes.
That's why I've learned to trust God. That's why I'm able to find joy. That's why I'm able to have peace. Even in the midst of trials as an entrepreneur, I'm able to sit back and look like, yo, you literally have proof over and over and over and over that you're going to be all right. This time, it's not any different. It's just a new level.
I love that you shared that. And you know, we can also relate that to business. Some of us, I want to be making this much now. I want to be, and if you had that much, and if you had that business, you would fumble the bag. If God gave that to you now, you wouldn't even be the person that could steward it correctly.
I remember, so I made one of those fake, you know, people are like, by the time I'm 30, I want to be a millionaire.
Okay. Yes. Been there.
You know, we all do that. I really sat back and thought, nah, I'm not a millionaire, by the way, but I have way more money now than I did at 25. Okay, I have more money now than I did at 29. I have more money now than I did at 28. I have more money now than I did at 20. The point is, I've done leveled up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But the thing that, like, I've even learned with business is the not just stewardship, but I think the level of personal character, like personal awareness, let's call it that.
Yes.
In your business. Because here's the thing. So I was telling you, I told my neighbor I work from home. Do you know if Paul had hit a million at like 26, Paul would not have a business right now. Paul probably would have just bought like two properties and be like, you know what? We good. You know what I'm saying? We're all right. I would have literally stepped in the way of being able to serve other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the arbitrary goal that was set was not in alignment with where I was. And even with a lot of business, y'all might find yourself like crying. Why don't I have more clients? Why am I not making more money? But y'all, take an assessment of what it would be like if you did. I always tell people I consult with, for example, imagine the nightmare. You woke up tomorrow, you had 50 new clients. Just imagine the nightmare that is. Yeah. You made a whole bunch of money. Yeah, great. But imagine the nightmare. Can you imagine having to onboard 50 new people? You're not doing nothing else but onboarding. Now you got to think about the fulfillment. Now you got to think. So like, even in those moments, like you have to still prepare yourself. That's why I said, I pray that I go do the stuff that'll prepare me for the blessing. It's a two-part thing. So for y'all, like in the moments of struggle or in the moments of toughness, And I can't believe we're still on the first question. But in the moment, so like, it's half an hour and we still have the first question. But in the moments of struggle, in the moments of like, look at that, my contractor calling me and texting me right now. Come on, bro, relax. It's not that deep. But in the moments of struggle and in the moments of toughness, think about it. You have to prepare yourself to even be in that position. I don't know if it was Steve Harvey or T.D. Jakes, one of them two, told a story in one of their sermons. They were like, you know, they wanted to get a new car and they had like an old car. I don't know if you heard this story before. Wait, have you?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll tell you. So, you know, they had this like old school car in the driveway back when they were like in their teens. And they'd come home every day and, you know, whoever it was would be like, Mom, I'm gonna get a new car. And Mom would be like, yeah, okay, cool. Okay, baby. Every day. Okay, baby. Cool. Okay, baby. So one day he came and was like, yo, like, why do you always just respond okay? And she was like, well, I'll respond okay because you tell me you want a new car, but where are you going to put that car? You got your old, raggedy, broken down vehicle sitting in the driveway on bricks. Where's the car even going to go? And so he ended up getting somebody to come and pick up the car for, I think it was like $20, something like that, right? Tow it. Within a week, new car. After months of saying, I'm getting a new car. And that's what people have to understand. You don't just say, I wish. You have to make the room, because I promise you the way life works. Okay, for those of y'all who are not like caught in God, let me talk to y'all right now. Look in the camera. The way life works is this. You don't get nothing unless there's nothing to get. Okay, so let me break that down. Nothing will take up the space of something that's already filled.
Fill the space of something that's already filled. Okay.
You can't fill up something that's full. So you have to like remove the stuff. That's all I'm saying. The thing that happened today, but I'm talking about today. I literally said it needed to go so we could have this other thing, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Look at me, Mr. Positive. But that's just how it is. That's just how it is. Like, I'm telling you about the Suburban, like, literally clearing out the garage, like, trying to get it clean. Why? Because the Suburban got to go somewhere. Ain't about to have it out in the street like with the common folks.
Good night.
You gotta go somewhere. So that's what I'm saying. Like, even the moments where you guys are like wishing to have more money, more clients, more awareness, like more marketing fame, whatever it is, like you still have to prepare for that. And only after you prepared for that, because here's the thing. Like, it really took me a while to fully understand it. Like, the whole phrase, like, you have to be the person who can do the thing before you can do the thing that the person can, like, that's legitimate. As you start to prepare, you literally automatically become the person who can do it. You want to lose weight? Let me use that example. Okay, well, number one, the weight loss, it ain't all the fancy, like, we got the Peloton. You know what I'm saying? We got the low weights, whatever. We got all that. But you know what's really going to help me with weight loss? My diet. So the thing I've been focused on, because I'm in the boot, right? So like, I can't walk, I got a stress fracture. So I've been in the boot for the last 2 weeks. Well, Paul can't go and do his long walks. Paul can't hop on the Peloton. So Paul said, yo, I'm going to focus on the nutrition, boy. Let me prepare myself to even have the fuel so that when I do get back out there, guess what? I'm dominating. But wouldn't you know it? Just focusing on nutrition alone, I'm already losing stuff. I'm already feeling better. I'm already feeling more energetic. I'm already feeling more alive. Preparing to have the stuff will turn you into the person who can have it. That's all I'm going to say on that. I'm going to leave that alone.
I want to say something, but I'm scared we won't leave the question.
I promise you, go ahead.
The self-awareness, that is something of like, I talked about 4 or 5 different people, and that self-awareness has come up with every single person. That's all. Just you know, these mental notes. But everything you just you have a really good speaking voice. I'm saying go become a pastor, but I'm just saying.
Ooh, don't speak over that. Don't speak that. I am not called. I am not called. Let me say something right now. I'm aware. I am not called to that kind of ministry. I'm called to ministry, just not that kind of ministry. I'm going to tell you that right now. I do not have it inside me to be a caretaker of the masses. I do not have it inside. Like, I'm not rebuking it. I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just saying that's not what I'm called to do.
Listen, I started off, I'm not saying, I just said, you know, speak the voice, the delivery. Do not speak that over my
Now they're gonna be like, ah, got him. You're talking about all this God, but he don't want to be a pastor. Okay.
Oh my God. I can't breathe.
I just apologize. I hope this is not like the most chaotic thing you've done. I'm sorry.
I love this. I'm so happy. This is the best.
Here.
Oh okay. Man, the best. Okay, I want to go to, especially because you got wifey down. Let's talk about how are you managing, like, how are you maintaining your meaningful relationships? Just meaningful relationship, your wife being one, you know, parents, people who are important to you, right? Balancing those meaningful relationships with the business, with entrepreneurship, right? What does that look like?
So, I mean, I'll tell you very practically, you know, what it looks like for me is, well, I don't call everybody, but, you know, just checking. Like one of my very close friends, he's a pediatrician now, Dr. Giddy. He started doing this thing a couple months back where he would just like text me and I'd be like, hey man, you know, happy Friday. Like we send each other Bible verses. Well, mostly him than me, but send Bible verses every day. And on Fridays, he's like, man, happy Friday. Like, what was the highlight of your week? Like, intentionally think about it and share it with me. And so it's interesting because now it's like, I'm always ready to share my highlight. Like, I've thought about it and I'm like, this is actually what was the most impactful moment of my week. Let me share it with you on Friday morning. And he does the same. You know, other friends like Carl, I haven't called him all week, so I need to call him. But it's been a crazy week. But like, we'll call each other. Hey man, we're just checking in. What's going on? You know, how you feeling? How you doing? Yo, I'll text him. Like, bro, like, what's going on? You know, my family, I'll FaceTime them on the weekends. I'd be like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, are you guys good? Like, you know, what's happening? Just to make sure that we're all in contact, but more importantly, like, we're just, you know, make sure everybody's good and not just like that surface, like, I hope you're great. No, I'm like, no, like, what's going on? You know, my wife, I've made it like a very intentional thing now that every day, probably with the exception of today, though, but every day, usually by like 8 o'clock, I'm done with everything. And I'm like, from 8 o'clock until whenever we fall asleep, I'm just like, yo, even if it's us just sitting there watching Netflix or sitting there talking, I mean, she does a lot of like nighttime workouts, but it's like sitting there and just making the space. You know, let me go do the dishes. Let me kind of go prep dinner so that she can come home and do, so like, so she can do her workouts and, you know, kind of like recenter herself from a long day of work. And then we'll just talk, you know, me and her just, we talk a lot. We really talk a lot all the time, like even during the day while she's at work and I'm at work, we talk. And so that's how I maintain them. You know, I just make sure that people are good. Cause I had like a friend pass away in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somebody that I hadn't spoken to for months. And so when I got news of her passing, it really hit me. I was like, man, I haven't talked to her in a long time. Like, last we saw each other was in Michigan. That was the last time I talked to her. And I was like, man, you know, you start to think like, I wish I reached out more, whatever. And then one of my buddies was like, well, we don't have to keep wishing. Like, let's take this moment now and just do that for each other. So that's also part of like why I check in on my people so much. My people check in so much on me. Yeah, that's just maintaining like just those relationships. Just make sure everybody's good, you know, and it's not surface level, like you good, like actual, you know, meaningful conversation.
I love that. Cause I'm definitely somebody like, you know, when I first started, even in PT school and then like PT school and then, you know, starting my entrepreneur journey, I wasn't talking to nobody. I have time for nobody. I got goals. Come through, right. We're going to go see a Broadway show. I can't. I got goals. Come take a walk with me. I can't. I got goals. And then, like, you know, sometimes guys have to sit you down so that you can see that you are crazy. And so I love and so now on the other side of that, I'm like, oh, yeah, no. When you start trusting in God and you have actual faith, then you realize that you can take a beat and you can make time for people and him, and the business is not going to fail. You don't still reach success, you know? But I think sometimes we get in that mindset of like, oh my God, if I'm not working there every second of the day and if I'm not thinking about it and what's this and that, that it's not going to work and I won't be successful and I won't be able to say, hey, I made it. And it's a lie. It's all a lie. These are all things we say in our head. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
And when you relinquish it to God, and then you see him move, it's just a different ballgame.
People just make it so deep when it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Like, it really is not that serious. You know, it's really not that serious. But we make it serious when it doesn't have to be.
Indeed. 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 Oh, so I want to know. I don't know. Okay, we're back.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to know. Okay. I want to talk about... Stop it. I can't.
Okay, I'm here.
Who authorized this conversation? I can't.
I have not
yet. No.
I thought this was going to be a good idea.
I want to talk about authenticity. How, what mindset shifts, what strategies, what have you found that has allowed you to maintain your authenticity and purpose in your work?
Okay, this is going to sound weird, but I realize everybody else is struggling just like me. So it really changed when I started talking to a lot of my boys and you know, friends that are in business. I was like, oh, we're all going through it. I thought it was just me. Oh, you're stressed. Okay. So once I realized that, I was just like, oh, well, let me share my pains. So I think what that's done with like authenticity is just like being me. You know, the one thing I try not to do, especially like when you do sales and I think you become proficient at it, is like you always have the sense of like you can positively manipulate somebody, mm-hmm. right? For their good. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know, for me, it's just like, it's just become the practice of just being like straight up. I mean, what you see is what you get. You know, I really learned to like tell people straight up, like how I function, you know, I think that's something that I quote unquote pride myself on is like, yo, I don't think at this point in my life, you're going to go talk to one person and you're going to get a different account from somebody else. Because what's the point, right? Like as my mom says, I'm too old to be two people. And so
yes.
Yeah, she has a lot of isms. Like don't know where she gets it from, but I'm just too old to be two people. Like, that's really what it is. So from an authentic side, I tell you straight up, like, if I believe I can help you, I'll tell you I believe I can help you. If I don't think I can help you, I'm going to tell you I don't think I can help you. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that usually about them and not me. Not that I can't do it. It's just mindset and stuff like that. But, you know, I also, you know, have learned as part of authenticity, I've really learned to hold myself accountable. Like, and that's something I'm even learning more and more. Like, how do I hold myself accountable at a high end level? Because how else can I be fully authentic? So, you know, different stuff like, and I haven't done it today. I haven't done a Peloton workout. I haven't done my Duolingo. You know, so I tell myself, I'm going to do like little things like that, right? I'm going to do my Duolingo.
What's that?
We did, right? I'm learning Spanish. So it's one of those language apps, right? So I'm going to do the Spanish, right? My Spanish session of the day. I'm on day 221. I'm going to do, you know, my Peloton stuff. I'm going to drink my protein shake first, like before I eat anything. And hold it. Nobody else. I mean, maybe Duolingo, you can see when I miss a day, but nobody else, or Peloton, but nobody else is going to see if I don't do my protein and don't do the help. Nobody else is going to see that. Nobody else is going to see, oh, I worked on this, this, and that. Like, I have stuff I have to work on Sunday from some people I'm working with. If I don't, if I spend Sunday all day in bed and then decide to work on it at night, nobody's going to see that. I have to hold myself accountable. I got to get my butt up, work on it so I can be able to have my evening with my wife. I got to get my butt up and shake up the protein shake so I can be able to make sure that I'm putting in all the protein because I don't need a lot of protein. So I'm making sure I'm getting my protein like Phil. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to look at me and be like, oh, yeah, Paul, I see you had 19 grams of protein today. You can't see that. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to know. I'm going to start singing this. Anyway, you know, nobody.
I'm gonna back you up.
Thing. So, like, really learning to hold myself accountable, and I've really learned a lot of those lessons too from my wife. Man, this is somebody who, like, standing on business, as the kids say. Like, I'm telling you, like at 7:33, she did a workout this morning, and before we go to bed, she gonna do another workout. I don't push her to do it. But she already made a decision, and she told me that decisions that she made, and she holds herself accountable. I really learned it from her. I really learned it from her. And so that's how I think how I stay authentic is holding myself accountable. And at that point too, and this is the other part, I now have clarity of my conscience to hold other people accountable. Because now I'm not going to be, you know what I'm saying? My mom used to say, like, drinking water, but what's it called? Drinking, preaching water, but drinking wine is what she used to call it.
I ain't never heard that, but yeah.
Right? You never heard that? Preaching water, but drinking wine. So I'm not going to be out here preaching water, but drinking wine. We're going to be drinking water. We're going to be drinking wine. It's going to be the same thing. Right. Yeah. That's one of my favorites, man. But that's part of why too. So I can hold other people accountable, knowing in my clear conscience, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to do something I myself am not willing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oof. So good. Can we talk about, I mean, I think everyone's not everyone, but I want to get into burnout. Have you experienced it?
Yeah.
What do you do when you realize, like, this is happening? You know, what do I need? What does Paul need?
So, it used to be that Paul would take Wednesdays off. Used to be. I needed, like, I mean, one, you know, I observed the Sabbath. So Saturdays, I'm incognito. You ain't gonna find me. It don't matter. It don't matter if I close you on a Friday night. You ain't gonna hear back from me until Sunday. I'm just be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? So obviously, you know, Saturdays I'm off, but I also used to do Wednesdays. What I've started doing now, though, is I've really started to, like, manage my energy throughout the day. So what I mean by that is, like, because I used to hit burnout. Like, I'm talking about just can't, I can't function anymore. Like, I'm done. But how I've really learned to manage my energy is I'll start to do like some semi-heavy work around 8 o'clock in the morning, but then I'll take a break from like 12 to 2. All right. Perks of, you know, working at home. I'll take a break from 12 to 2. And between 12 to 2, I'm going to tell you exactly what I do. I promise you. I'll tell you what I do. Between 12 to 2, I'm going to eat my food. Then I'm going to sit there. I do all my reading in the morning so I don't have guilt, right? So I'll sit there in front of the TV. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I will not lie to y'all. I'll sit there in front of the TV and I'll turn on something. Sometimes Netflix. Lately, I've been watching the show on Peacock. It's called The Capture. Fantastic show. I'm just mad they only has 2 seasons. But I'll sit there. Sometimes I'll take a nap between 12 to 2.
We have a nap ministry.
And then I'll hit my work from like 2:15 to about 6, 7 o'clock. But even if I work till 8, by 8 o'clock, I'm done. Like 100% done. Like my computer, I have another computer sitting on that desk that I haven't even opened this week except for today. I opened it today for like 5 minutes so I could do one quick thing and I closed it. Because this week, I was like, bro, these two separate computers have two separate uses in the work I do. I said, I ain't got energy for that stuff this week. So I'm going to just leave that closed. So I really manage my energy. And part of it too is because I think about what's important to me. I think when people get burnt out, it's like you just, it's that obsessiveness with like, okay. I'm about to sound a little like businessly sacrilegious. So people like are Mosey, right? You know, I follow him and he's always talking about like he loves work, to work. I too love work. You know what I realized? You gotta have a break. So I think burnout comes from a lack of knowing how to manage your energy and not even your time, but like awareness of your time. So something I really do, and I did it really well today, is I'm working. I'll take my phone. Like my phone is right next to me right now. Mm-hmm. That's because I walked into this room with it, but I normally would have left it in the hall. But I'll take my phone and not let it be where I'm working or not let it be within my reach. And the reason for that is because the burnout comes like, this literally how it come out. Ding. Oh, shoot. Who hit me up? Well, I'm doing this. Ding. And now my brain is expending so much energy trying to do 10 things at a time. So I really focus on only doing one thing. So except for the time I picked up my phone to text my contractor to stop calling me and I'll call back. All I've done during this interview is this and drink water. And so that's how I manage my burnout, by managing my energy, by only giving energy to what's in front of me and being where, as I heard it said, being where your feet are.
Okay.
Like, be where your feet are. And so for me, it's like, we're right here. Mm-hmm. And so that's what works for me. I mean, something else might work for somebody else, but that's what works for me.
Absolutely. I just be present. I don't learn many things from you in this time.
Listen, y'all, don't get caught up in the sayings. Caught up in the lessons. Get caught up in the lessons. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, of course.
It sounds cute, but if it doesn't impact your life, you know what I mean? Why does acuteness matter? It's like a puppy.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Okay. So I want to learn about, like, when you look at your journey, what core principles and values have guided you in choosing joy, loving yourself, and impacting others?
One of them, right at the top, is everybody deserves to be treated with respect. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a Fortune 500 CEO. It doesn't matter if you're sweeping the floors professionally. Everybody deserves respect. And I really learned that, like, a very vibrant version of that lesson from, like, even our lawn guy, Raymond Clark. What a phenomenal human. Man, that man comes, especially in the, you know how hot it gets in, you know, Florida. That man comes, it's hot. But faithfully, he shows up. And when he shows up, I'm like, bro, even if you don't need a long cut, come through. Because when he comes, man, he's like so thankful. And all I can do is like, bro, like, what do you need? Water, Gatorade, juice, a break. You know what I'm saying? What can I do? And, you know, I use that example just to say, like, I've really learned a lot from, like, just loving on the people that you're serving and then also loving on the people that's the second thing. Loving on the people that are in your space. I mean, everybody deserves respect. Everybody deserves to be loved on. I can't really stand to see injustice in the world. I just, like, it's one of my core things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stand it. And so for me, it's like, yo, just provide opportunities for those who don't have an opportunity. You know, but just do it out of respect. Cause I remember, like, that's the thing. When we first moved to this country, man, I was telling my wife, kind of recanting, because she's always like, oh, do you do this as a kid? Do you do this other stuff? I'm like, bro, I don't think you understand. We was broke. Like food stamps growing up. We didn't have fancy things like Honey Nut Cheerios. And I remember those days. I remember like having to go and like going to like our town's version of the Goodwill and buying like getting free clothes. I remember, and people still treated us like we belonged. You know, I remember coming to America like in third grade and all my friends that I'm still friends, like, well, most of them that I'm still friends with to this day from third grade. They didn't, oh, the kid with the funny accent, they were just like, bro, like, come through. We got you. And those same boys, still boy, them same dudes were up there when I married this love of my life. They were my groomsmen. And so it's like that kind of thing, you know, just being treated like that. And so learning how to extend that, just learning how to extend that to other people. That's really one of my core beliefs. And I think if you just treat the people how like you want to be treated, and really, like, for me, I just really think, like, bro, like, I always wonder, man, who out there is not treating my loved ones the way I'm treating people, or who out there is treating my loved ones the way I'm treating people? Would I be sick to my stomach? Would I be like, thank God there's good people in the world? And so that's where it comes from. You know, that's where it comes from, that core belief, you know, and everything else I believe in and I do just stems from that. Like, everybody deserves. Now, this ain't saying that sometime, you know, I'd be a little hot-headed, you know, but I'm still human. God is still working.
Hey!
But in the same time, I always had to like scale back, remind myself, yo, like, bro, chill. Is this how people deserve to be treated? So, you know, that's really it.
Absolutely. That's a word. And I think we know, but then like, do we show up, right? When it's time to act on that, you know, are we? And
I mean, like, yo, I'm the kind of dude, yo, I'll be driving down the, I mean, now that I have a wife and she's a little afraid of, like, you know, stranger danger, I don't do it as much. But I'm the kind of dude, like, yo, I see somebody broken down on the highway, my first thought is, are they a serial killer? Are they trying? I'm just like, dog, you got a flat on the 75? Let me pull over. Do you need help? Like, that's just how I function. And it's not to boast. It's not to be better than. That's just how I function. And I think for people, like, if you put a lot of that, like, oh, it's great. Sounds great, right? It sounds great in Bible school. It sounds great in when you say it theoretically. But when you actually put that to action, would you really be willing? Anyway, we ain't got time for that. Let me stop.
I'm glad you preach.
I'm just saying, like, would you really be willing to take the shirt off your back?
Yeah.
Obviously, within reason. Shoes off your feet. Like, how much do you truly love on people? I'm not saying go out there and sell your home. And, you know what I'm saying? I ain't with all that. What I'm saying is, like, you know, how much do you love on people? And, you know, and it's little actions. in business and outside of business. You at the Starbucks. Why don't you just go ahead and just put $20 on the person behind the order? Who knows? Why don't you go ahead and, you know, just, I don't know, like one of the, anyway, I got so many goals and aspirations. I just want to be able to like call up like my alma mater one day and just be like, yo, here's like $100,000. Pay, because, you know, school's expensive. Pay three students tuition for the year. I don't want to know who. Just go bless somebody. Like, that's what it means to love people, but it doesn't require you having $100,000. It can be as little, y'all, as little. Hey, I'm at the grocery parking lot. Oh, you know, I see somebody with the cart. Hey, yo, don't worry about that. I'm going to take the cart back for you. It could be as little as that. It could be as little as returning your cart to the little cart holder so the people that work in the parking lots don't have to do 10 miles picking up everybody's cart. It could be as simple as that. But it's really like I've learned to like live out that kind of love and action. And I'm only hoping to like one day be worthy enough. To be worthy enough to let that be my legacy.
Hey, man, you better talk about it. And I love that. I think as somebody that I was the opposite, right? Grew up only child, spoiled. But, you know, there became a time when I was down, but we're just giving. Are you, what do you need? How can I? And so I just started to see, like, wow, people are just blessing me randomly when I need it the most. And it began to shift my perspective and the importance of sowing seeds and expecting nothing in return. And it's also funny, like, I've been very anti-clinic, and I had to go back. Not back, because I never started. So I had to go. And I hate it. I don't hate it. But there are these moments now where I'm meeting people and God is moving. And it's almost like if it was anybody else, they may not have been able to have this moment, right? We may not have been able, well, didn't God move before? PT having that conversation with this person. Yeah, but my car about to get repoed and I can't go to work and workers' comp is only paying me. But did we not see him move before? Yeah, okay. So we're going to come, we're going to start this plan of care. Right? And so many other moments. And I'm like, oh, there is something deeper for me being here. I'm going to get back to my business, but I'm supposed to serve in this space for a season. Mm-hmm. And that's when I stopped being angry. And I said, let me be used and let me go serve. And so that's what I, you know, thought about hearing everything you said. How do we help people? How we put our ego aside and think about how we are helping and can serve others.
That's it right there. I could say so much more. I won't, but that's it right. That's it right there. Man, you hit it right on the nail.
Okay. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to respect your time. My last question, right? So when we're looking at entrepreneurs, individuals you've worked with, have you seen common obstacles amongst, you know, these people who maybe are successful, right? We built the thing, you know, but we still have the challenges, right? Have you seen a common theme around those obstacles and challenges? And then what support or resources do you believe are the most beneficial for them?
Yes, in different forms. I have seen obstacles that are common, but in different forms. So one of the things I tend to see, even with the people I consult with and work with, is there always seems to be like this pump. The moment from when they go from who they are to like who they're required to be. And that usually looks different for a lot of people. Some people just require, you know, they just get better at sales. Some people require, you know, better get better, whatever. Some people require they scale back and not be the face of their business. But usually it's like some transformative like moment, which I look at as an obstacle because it's something they have to go through. They can't like avoid it. Another obstacle I tend to see a lot of people experience is like just, you know, the technicalities of it all and just overthinking the simplicity of what they want to do. Like just straight up overthinking the simplicity. Bro, I see people read books and books and books and books on sales. I see people been like, let me get some scripts. I need whatever. And my sales coach, he's like, yo, here's 9 things. Just hit those 9 things. Right? And so I'll see people go through the obstacles of like just doing the most. Like I promise y'all, your business does not need to be fancy. You want an example? The laundry detergent. You want an example? The oil that goes in your car. These are billionaire brands. Okay. You want an example? Water bottle companies. Well, the ones that make money are not them fancy Blackwater. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want an example? Ring lights are like crazy in 2020.
Literally.
Your business does not need to be fancy. Stop overthinking that thing. So, like, you know, earlier today, I also do like sales
call. Me.
Talking to me. Okay, listen.
So stop. I didn't come here to be attacked.
So
please,
I did.
Please continue.
Well, here's the thing. You and I are going to talk after this. But I did a sales call review. I listened into a live call that two of my clients were doing, right? And I think they're going to close it. They're going to cash in like $4,000 off of this thing, right? Which is so cool because they used to complicate the process so much. And now they're literally making like $5,000 to $7,000 a week in their business. I mean, shout out to the Dominoes. But, you know, so I'm not saying I had anything to do with it, but I had a lot to do with it. You know what I'm saying? We got them there. But hint, hint, whoever's watching. So shameless plug. But I'm listening to the call and like they get to the end and I start to hear they're losing control of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so in the group chat I have with them, I send a quick group chat. I say, yo, say the statement. And they didn't say the statement. And so now they got to close the thing on Monday instead of when they could have closed it today. They just simply read the statement. Just the statement I said to make was just so simple. Mm-hmm. But they kept giving detail and this and that. And I'm in here like, stop it. Stop being so specific. Believe it or not, it doesn't help you on the sales call. It doesn't. Stop being so specific on sales calls, y'all. Okay. Only the people making a lot of money can be specific. All right. Look, think about it. For y'all that drink the poison that is Coca-Cola, y'all drink Coca-Cola. I promise you, y'all don't sit there and think, what is in this bottle? No, you don't. You need to be like Coke. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sold. So that's it. And so, you know, after we hopped off, I just sent a message. I said, yo, like, y'all started being too specific with what you were doing that actually caused the other person to start looking for details and then lost control of the conversation. And so stop trying to be fancy. Ain't nobody, like for y'all PTs out there, I promise you, nobody wants to hear all the knowledge you learned in school. Nobody cares but you and your colleagues. Okay. For all y'all fancy math nerds, I promise you, I don't need to. Shout out to my trigonometry teacher in junior year of high school. We do not care. stop being so complicated. The best businesses are boring, they're simple, and they're easy. The best businesses, this is why Chick-fil-A only has like how many things on their menu? What, like nine?
Nine?
When you go to Chick-fil-A, what you gonna get? What do they sell at Chick-fil-A? Chicken.
Groundbreaking.
But does Chick-fil-A make billions? The answer is yes. I'm assuming. They sell chicken. So they have such a dope brand because they sell one thing. I mean, they sell one thing nine different ways, but they sell one thing. They don't sell beef. They sell chicken. And they pray over it before they cook it. We thank God. Okay? And so the simplest business, I mean, think about even though the boring Panda Express. I promise you, you go to a Panda Express, it don't matter if you're in, that's going to sound racist. It doesn't matter if you're in Michigan. It doesn't matter if you're in California. It doesn't matter if you're in Tampa, Florida. It does not matter if you're in Spokane, Washington. You're going to get the same boring, bland, but consistent food. What I'm saying is y'all got to stop. So that's another obstacle too. Just stop. Like y'all feel like you got to have the logos and the brand colors and the mission statements and what the brand colors mean. Cause you guys think you're a Fortune 500 company and you got a meeting of, like I'm saying, you feel like you got to have like the logo printed out on the side of your car and the magnet and the shirts and the hoodies and all that, and the bottles and the stickers for the bottles. You know what I'm saying? And the enterprise Zoom, like, bruh, let me tell you something. When we started our business, we had a Zoom account that we paid for, and we still, when all went up $2 because Zoom, you know, capitalist. We paid $14.99 a month for it. And it was on that $14.99 a month we made our first $30,000 offer on a Zoom link with nothing but me and my partner, with no idea of how to onboard the person, with no idea of how to do the back end. I mean, we did it with no idea of how to collect the cash. That was a doozy. I was not familiar with Stripe. Okay. I'm trying to send them a link for this business account we just opened like a week before. Turned out to do wires, it's like a $1 limit. So I got to call the bank to ask them to raise the limit. They're like, oh, you're a new business, we can't raise the limit. You're not bringing in 30K. Anyway, so it was just a whole lot. It was a whole lot.
Yeah.
But we did the thing anyway. We did it imperfectly, but we did the thing. So stop being calm. Stop doing the most, y'all. Okay, just keep it simple. Kiss it, as we say in sales. Keep it simple. Yeah. See what I did? It's a sales technique, right? So I said it, but I didn't say the last word so everybody could feel it in their mind. Free game. Anyway, just keep it simple. Kiss it. That's it. That's all I got. Ain't nothing fancy. I promise you. Ain't nothing fancy over here. Read books. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing fancy over here. I know how to get you the result, but I promise you it's not going to feel fancy. Like, don't come to me if you think you're about to have like the girl. I ain't flying you out to Tampa. I am not. But you know what? You're going to make that money. I'll just tell you that. Anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm not about to send you on an all-inclusive. No, I'm not doing none of that. I'm not even sending you a swag box. Like, let me be real with you. You're not going to get no swag box from me. You know what you're going to get? Results. Anyway, carry on.
Not even a swag box.
Bro, why am I about to sit here and send you a shirt, a hoodie, a notebook, why?
Makes them feel good. But results feel even better.
I'm saying, are you here to feel good or get paid? Like, which one? Choose. You can only have one in this house.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sorry. I thought I could be transparent on this. No,
you definitely can.
I thought I could be real. Because what are people doing those swag boxes anyway? You get it. You got all that unnecessary confetti in there. Now you take the one thing and you put it on the shelf and you never pick it up. Then you got to, come on. I've only had two companies send me a swag box that I used. And one in particular, check this out. One in particular, they sent me a mug that I drink coffee out of.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, thank you for the usefulness. They sent me a pen that ran out of ink. And then they sent me fruit. You know what I did? I gave it to my wife. I said, here's some fruit. That was probably the only useful swag box I ever got. But you think I'm about to go get you a coffee mug? Maybe I could. I mean, I guess that'd be nice, right? But I need to hire somebody for stuff like that. I'm not concerned about, like, I promise you, I don't think about certain things like that. Just transparently. Because I just believe in the simplicity of everything. I'm not concerned. Contractor calling, bro. I'm like, bro, look. What are you talking about? I ain't talking to New Realty yesterday. Hey, we do. I said, yo. We keep it simple over here. We ain't got to communicate too much. Just send it and tell me. Send it and tell me. And then I'm going to hit you up. You know, it'll be a beautiful relationship. Everybody's paying. So that's what I'm saying. Just keep it simple. It does not need to be complicated. If nothing else from this entire podcast episode, like if nothing else, just keep it simple. It really don't mean like your personal life, your relationships, your faith. Just keep it simple. You don't need none of that fancy stuff. I mean, it's nice, but I promise you, it ain't going to be what gets you to heaven anyway. I'm sorry. I'm done. I mean, the word is very clear. The word doesn't say, oh, go feed 100 homeless people and you're going to get to heaven.
Wow.
That's what it says. Have faith. It's very clear. And then a couple other things, but you know, that's what I'm saying. Just keep it simple. Jesus' ministry was very simple. I mean, he did miracles, but think about the miracles that were recorded. The simple, he broke bread. Gave it to 5,000 plus. Like, he broke bread. He didn't sit here and go, boom, 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 boom. He said, bless it. Boom. He said, oh, y'all need some wine at the wedding? Yo, take that old wineskin and put some new stuff in it and pour it out. That's what he said. Simple. He said, take one, put it into the other, you're going to get this. Simple. That's all I'm saying. The blind man, he said, mud, you can see. He told somebody, oh, pick up, like, yo. The person who could not, said, into the pool. Like, not even into the pool. He said, your faith has healed you. Get up and walk. Simple.
Where do you think this idea of like, and this is somebody who I am the person you're talking to. Oh, it's God complex. How did we got there?
If people try to be God, man, that's what it is, I think. And that's why I said, do not glorify.
Understand.
Yes.
Come on, full circle.
That's why I said, do not glorify your sin.
Yeah.
You're glorifying your sin. And now, guess what? Here's the issue. Right? Think about this. Well, this is why this God boss exists. You start to like, you get to a point of overcomplication because stuff isn't going your way. So now I need to find a new way. I who doesn't know what is to come, needs to come up with a solution for the unknown so that I can have a solution, hopefully, that aligns with the thing that I hope will come, even though I don't know what's coming. So you start to complicate.
Speak on it.
I always use an example when I'm coaching people. Think about when babies are walking. When babies first start to take steps, do them kids sit in a master class about how to walk? Do they confer with a bunch of other people and say, oh, what's the best walking technique? No, they sit, they observe, they stand and do. It's simple. They don't sit there and think to themselves like, oh, man, like, you know what I'm saying? And then we kind of try to complicate it for them. Well, maybe if you pick them up and you run, maybe if you push them to crawl more. Nah. At some point, a baby realizes, yo, everybody moving from point A to point B. Surely, I too can do that. So I discover crawling. I discover a little army crawl. And then one day, I tell myself, maybe I can stand. Let me try this thing. maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. And what they do, they say, let me just keep it simple. Let me keep trying this thing. See, it's not giving up. It's not just trying to find another thing just because it didn't work the first time. It's let me try this thing over and over until one day you put, well, I started singing that Christmas song. You start to put one foot in front of the other. That's all they do. They keep it simple. And then also they start teleporting. So it's just to that point, like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We complicate it because it becomes like, it becomes more about us. It becomes more about what can I do? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know how people be doing it without God, because y'all are wild. Like, y'all really living life on the literal edge. Because I look at it and I say, look, God's going to give me the answer anyway. I just need to be in a position to receive the answer. So let me just do the simple job. You know what I'm saying? Let me do the stuff and just keep it simple. It's not about me. It's about him and his will and what he desires for my life. And he's using what he desires for my life to not just bless me, but to bless others and to be an overflowing, abundant blessing. But if I start to complicate it and make it about me, now I'm going to start doing a whole bunch of stuff and I'm going to start acting strange for some change. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to start doing a whole bunch of things that do not, like, no longer align. Yo, I'm trying to be serious. no longer align with what you're supposed to do in the first place. And that's why I think people complicate. Because you start, like, think about it. Like, when the Bible says a double-minded man.
Mm. Come on.
When you even, like, simplicity requires focus and clarity. Mm. That's what it requires. But when you're double-minded, I think, you start to have multiple ideas. And you, I'm brain dumping. No, it's like, you ain't got no focus. When you start to have multiple ideas at the same time, now, you can't remember I was talking about, like, how I manage my energy. Mm-hmm. If I have an idea, I literally tell myself, like, let me write it down. Let me get back to what I was doing. Or God gonna bring it back to me at the right time. Right? And so I think for a lot of people, that's where the overcomplication comes, because it's just so much about us, and we really just glorify our sin. We really glorify our ability to fix problems. That we can't do it.
Absolutely. What did you do? You said I need to be in a position to hear. I thought that was so powerful. You know, a lot of times, even sometimes I'm like, well, God's not speaking, I don't hear God. But are you in position?
Well, I mean, that's also the other part too, but we do not have time to go into that. Here's the thing, right? So when I'm really learning to hear God, God's not a yeller. Mm-hmm. You don't scream.
Mm-hmm.
That's still small voice. So if your voice is the loudest voice you hear, of course you're not going to hear God. Of course. Like, of course you're not going to hear God. I think what also, and if you guys read Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Rochelle, hint, hint, you'll learn this thing about mental ruts. The repetition of, like, I was about to go into, let me break it down like this, repeated behavior, okay? So, you know, the myelin in our brain, and the myelin sheets that basically makes everything faster. So when I do something, my brain's like, okay, we did it. It worked out this way. Let me do it again. So now we have repeated behavior, okay? That's where people, like, sometimes become predictable, okay? How do people become predictable? You can see how people are going to react before they even realize they're going to react. I do so many sales calls, and, like, I can tell usually by the beginning of, like, maybe the first 10 minutes, whether or not, you know, I got them or, like, I'm going to sell them, because I can literally hear the repeated behavior I've heard in hundreds of other people. Mm. I can literally hear it. People want to. Anyway, the point I'm trying to say here, you know, because we don't have time to go into this. The point I'm saying is, like, because we're so conditioned to go into that repeated behavior, of course, I do not blame a lot of people. Of course, if you go to a point of stress when things get hard. Of course, you start to overthink when you're not sure of the outcome. Of course you start, because that's what you did
right
before you knew better. That's what you were conditioned to do. Think about it. Why am I drinking protein shakes at 11 in the morning? Like, the reason I'm drinking protein shakes is because for me, I condition myself, bruh, like, just, you know, ain't no lunch you don't order out. So let me warm up some chicken nuggets and some fries. So that's going to be the first meal every day. Well, guess what? Same people do it with alcohol. Oh, you had a tough day. Conditioned to do what? Let me get a drink. Let me pour a glass. Let me do this. Oh, you're frustrated. You're conditioned to what? Yell. Oh, you're overwhelmed. You're conditioned to what? Complicated. Worse. Oh, you feel shame. You're conditioned to hide the truth.
Right.
And I think that's where things get complicated. So that's what I've learned. Like I'm saying, like, I really learned that day I went to Jamaica. I really learned. Keep that sucker simple. Keep that thing simple. You know what I'm saying? Like, relax. That's really, like, relax. So anyway, that's that. I apologize. Because you were saying something, and then it just triggered my mind. And I was like, no, I need to talk about this really quickly. But no, I just really feel like it was important to say that. Like, don't think your sin is so great that you now become the end-all, be-all of your life. That's what I'm going to leave it with.
Absolutely. Listen, I was going to close this out, but I'm happy that it didn't happen. Because you came through, as you always do. Deacon Paul, I want to thank you for just being on here, giving your time, blessing us with all of your wisdom. You just better than I could have ever imagined.
I'm just grateful to be here. That's all. I'm just grateful to be here. Simply a vessel talk.
Oh, where can the people find you?
Oh, like to reach me?
Can they not? Oh, he said, don't. He said, don't.
Don't do that. Not playing. Pride of Simba _ between each word. Or just Google me, Paul Chen. You'll find me. And that's not even an egotistical thing. No, you're going to find me. Just Google me, Paul Chen.
Google me, baby. Listen.
Let's Google.
Listen, thank you again. Everyone, see y'all in the next episode. Hey.